Erlem Sports.
Hello and welcome to the Verulam Sport Podcast. Every week, the team behind the award-winning Radio Verulam Sports Show will provide you with the most relevant news from the local and regional sporting scenes, whilst keeping you in the picture with national and international bulletins from the world of sport. There will be topical debates, regular interviews from local talent, and chats with those big-name guests that are a mainstay of Verulam Sport. As always, this is your show, every bit as much as it is ours. So, check out Verulam Sport across social media and get involved. For now, prepare yourself for this week's action-packed Verulam Sport Podcast. Hello and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And I tell you what, it's been an honour and a privilege to be involved with Radio Verulam in the sports presenting context for some time now. And one of the major things that struck me is the wonderful benevolence and sense of a spirit of adventure that the people of St. Albans possess. Almost embodying that today, we're going to learn of an awesome mini cycling odyssey from a virtual context done from St. Albans' own Jim Hodkins. Jim, welcome to Verulam Sports Podcasting. How are you, sir?
Very good, thank you. Been riding my bike this morning and getting on well.
Well, goodness gracious me, it's a seminal day as well, isn't it? Because, 55 days, I think you've been at it, starting virtually, of course, up in Southport in the north or west. And now, right down at the other end of the country, Dover, you've arrived at, am I right?
That's right. We've cycled 800 kilometres across England, from Southport in the northwest, down through the Midlands, places like Leicester, down to Milton Keynes and approaching St Albans, some great cycling venues like the Central League cyclocross areas at Milton Keynes Bowl, Leighton Buzzard, Whipsnade, Hemel, then St Albans, down to Wembley. And then we've been tripping along the south coast from a great fundraiser's house in Chichester, who we know, and to Dover, 800 kilometres. And we've got the French leg starting next week.
Because the final destination, as it were, is Paris, Eiffel Tower and all that. And of course, the French are synonymous with cycling, aren't they? With the Tour de France, the big granddaddy, perhaps. But you mentioned there the cycle cross, closely associated with that kind of southeast neck of the woods. Jim, you've participated in that. Can you explain a little bit more about what that caliber of cycling is, please?
Yeah, cyclocross was, I guess, the precedent of mountain biking, where people took a road bike with drop handlebars off-road. Now it's run on courses. You might see them sometimes on the TV or in your local neighbourhood, lots of red and white tape around a normal park, if you like. Milton Keynes Bowl is a great venue for the Central League in the UK. I did four or five races last season, and it's a great atmosphere. All the local cycling clubs have teams. There was CX in the city, closer to the centre of Milton Keynes as well. And then Hemel, Gade Park, that's a great race. They're very exhausting 45-minute races, and you do laps, basically. And some of the guys, a lot better than me, are absolutely awesome in the times they're getting. And next season, they've already realised they probably can't do this starting in August. The organisers, Keith Perry, great guy. And they're actually racing virtually right now, choosing some online circuits on Zwift and having Sunday morning races, trying to get as close as possible to kind of cyclocross rules.
Do you know what? I think that's fabulous. And again, it shows me how kind of indomitable this human spirit is. Clearly, these are peculiar times. But the way people like yourself, and it seems like the cyclocross team there, are evolving, adapting, embracing technologies to still keep things going and keep that thrust and that momentum alive, I think that's fabulous. And again, I raise a glass to you. Just your take on embracing new technologies in this trying period of time.
Yeah, well, I have a friend who I met on a bike ride in India. We became roommates on that. We started at the Taj Mahal in Agra, cycled to Jaipur. It was a charity ride. And Rick, my friend, lives in Southport. Mm-hmm. And he's raised a lot of money for multiple sclerosis charities. And I started raising for him as well. And sadly, his wife was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis back before that 2012 ride. So you can imagine 8 years on, there's quite a lot of progression in her condition. But we've done a couple of Ride Londons together. I cycled coast to coast from Southport, where he lives, to Scarborough via York and back, which was about 300 miles in 2013, I think. My first real long distance 100 mile a day, multiple day ride.
And Jim, I've got to tell you, I'm a little bit just exhausted with the figures that you throw at us there. And so, not, I wouldn't say blasé, but just so at peace with them. And for me, you know, what you've done on this one already, 800, 300 are there. I'm exhausted just listening to these facts.
Well, on this ride, I mean, firstly, we're fundraising, which is very important. Local charities, very short of money. I mean, it's great that national charities are fundraising really well. And we are, I do have NHS Charities Together as one of mine on this, but I also have MS Therapy Centres local, and Rennie Grove Hospice, which lots of people in St Albans all know. I mean, they've been so helpful and such an amazing service. When my father died last year and his end of life, and also a friend of mine, you know, my age, you know, when he was in his 40s, you know, was badly diagnosed with a bad brain tumour, Rennie Grove Hospice was amazing. So fundraising for them, and lots of you'll know them, they sponsor the Hearts 10K from a sports perspective, and you'll know them from their homes. So we're raising for them. I mean, if I could say it's at, I've got a web address at www.ride55.co, and you can also follow the ride on Facebook if you go to the page at ride55. And it's called 55 because Rick had this idea that we would cycle for 55 days from Southport to Paris, about 1,200 kilometres. So we do about 20 to 25 a day usually. It's virtual, obviously, in our own homes, just to make it clear.
Yes.
People think, what are they doing out there? But we go to Google Maps and we put it on the cycling setting, and we find somewhere 20 to 25 miles away. And then I get on my bike, which is set up in my front room upstairs, and I have this application called Zwift, which is proving very popular, which is virtual cycling. And then I cycle that distance, and I try and match the route on Zwift to do the elevation that Google Maps says is along that route as well. So, you know, well, actually cycling it, well, as close as you can be. And actually,
you're replicating it really, aren't you? As best as we can. I think that's brilliant. Remind us so again of the best website to kind of offer support, because again, as I said in this introduction, I've been astonished by the spirit of benevolency and adventure and commitment to good causes here in St. Albans. So I know people listening will be delighted to support. Remind us the best way once again, please, to do that, Jim.
Yeah, so you can support my ride at www.ride55.co, and that'll take you to the fundraising page. We've raised, well, my page is on about 1,200, and between the three of us, we've raised about 2,700 so far on the ride, and we've still got 20 days to go. So, you know, it's proving great fundraising, a very disciplined fitness regime, and a lot of fun as well.
Win, win, win. And just again, raising a glass, because as I say, I'm astonished by the sheer figures of 25 kilometres a day, and goodness me, it adds up over time. But cycling back, I'm fascinated by the kind of odyssey that cycling has clearly allowed you to enjoy, and also seems to me it's very much in your DNA. I think your cousin is a very well-known cycling journalist and also an author, Peter Cousins. So just talk to me about how important in your whole journey, life journey, cycling has been.
Well, I think it's become more and more important in my life, like a lot of guys. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I cycled when I was a kid, and then I kind of dropped out of it and spent a lot of time in London in my 20s. And then I went up to Nottingham for a job, age 30, and I got into mountain biking. Absolutely loved it. And I'd be out every weekend in the local countryside, and then started going on some holidays, mountain biking in Scotland especially. And then about, I did a couple of longer rides, like the South Downs Way twice, and with different groups of people. And then I thought I'd try road cycling. And my brother-in-law's into it. And we went on an amazing ride in Yorkshire. And I thought, well, this is fantastic. You know, I love mountain biking, but I want to give this a go. So I bought a road bike kind of 2011. And then it kind of escalated from there, I guess. I went on that India ride. Mm-hmm. I cycled Scotland, actually mountain biking coast to coast. That was incredible, probably the most amazing scenery on a 6-day ride with a guide. So told us where to go up and over all these passes. And then I got into the kind of like that coast to coast with Rick. And then my neighbor introduced me to this group, large group, like over 100 people. And they set off to cycle from London to Sydney in Australia over 25 years, going on a 4 to 5 day holiday a year. And I started actually in Milan with them, cycled Milan to Rome, which is about 400 miles. Amazing cycling through the center of Italy, Piacenza, Bologna, down past Florence, Orvieto. We actually arrived in the Vatican at 6 p.m. on a Sunday evening, end of the ride, which we hadn't really realized was when the Pope was actually on stage.
It's almost taking a bow for you there. I love that moment. That's a, when things coincide like that. Wonderful.
Yeah, you get amazing moments. And then I decided, well, I'm going to join this for good. So actually, I'm going to try and cycle across Europe. So I've done all seven stages, cycled to London to Istanbul on 5 different trips, doing 5 of their legs from 2015 to 19. So we, you know, I cycled with the big group of over 100, which is an amazing vibe. On some of those, I cycled London to Paris to Geneva in one trip, which was with a group of about 7 of us. And then,
just give me an idea of roughly how long that journey took.
Well, there's 28 days cycling in that on 5 trips. A couple of them were 7-8 days, and the rest were 4 or 5. So you're doing, you know, roughly 100 miles a day, which really takes you from, you know, an early breakfast to kind of sports report time, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. If there's a lot of hills, I mean, we have been in some, you know, some quite tough places. Myself and my neighbour in St Albans, who introduced me, we missed a year because we already had a family holiday booked and they shifted the date. And we found that we didn't have Rome to Bari, basically cycling across Italy. So I said to my neighbour, we're probably not going to fly out and do that easily, but on the Bari to Thessaloniki, why don't we fly out 5 days early and just go and do it ourselves? That was a big challenge because the routes are, they're brilliant routes, but they're meant to be very demanding for really good cyclists who haven't got to carry their own stuff. We were self-supported, setting out from Rome, started off hailstorm straight after the start. And then the route went up the Apennine Way, which is the original Roman road out of Rome. And we're trying to go across these cobbles that are about a foot per cobble on these road bikes. You know, we ended up about 9 o'clock at night into Gaeta, which was the end of the journey. It had been raining a lot. Our lights had run out by the time we got to the tunnels. An amazing day's ride. And that whole ride was probably the best of the lot. Cycling across the roof, you know, the roof of Italy, superb.
I've got this wonderful image of you kind of on this dead straight, albeit incredibly high inclined road there. But again, a reflection of what we can do. And that sense of accomplishment surely must have been wonderful when you kind of achieved that.
Yeah, there was kind of, I think the achievement of getting to Bari was pretty good. We actually ran out of water that day in the baking heat. The guy who organized the ride said, I don't know where you're going to get lunch on the final day. And we kind of, you know, you kind of shrug it off because you think of the UK, that there'll be a shop somewhere. And we just went for hours without anywhere to get water, food, etc. So getting to Bari was pretty good. I think, you know, my other ones are I had Geneva to Milan missing, basically. And I wanted to arrive in Istanbul, having cycled across Europe, and not say, except I missed the Alps. So the September before, I set off to do that, flew into Geneva, did Geneva to Milan solo, which is about 400 miles again, along shore of Lake Geneva through Evian. And then the second day is over the Newfoundland Pass, which is one of the major passes. In fact, it's where the first e-bike ride was this year for the pros. that was televised. So it was interesting looking back at that route. But Newfoundland Pass is a big pass, and basically enables you to get over to Italy. And yeah, I did that in the autumn. There was actually, it was one of the last weeks the pass was open. I didn't realize it shut so early. It had actually been closed due to a snowdrift the week before, and there was just some snow fluttering.
Once again, you seize the moments, and I personally, Jim, don't believe in luck. I think we make our own, and sometimes the stars are in your favour. It sounds just that you got that window of opportunity just right by hook or by crook somehow.
Yeah, I mean, I knew when the pass officially shut, and I just thought, go 2 weeks before that, I'll be fine. I didn't, you know, but then you, as we know, the weather is especially a bit random now. But I agree with you totally. It's like, you know, I'm just a normal guy who got into cycling. And if you want to go and if you go and climb a Lake District hill, say mountain, and you're happy to be out walking from after breakfast or before tea, then doing a 100-mile bike ride is, it takes a bit of training, but it's just like that, basically. It's a day's cycling. When we go out of Verulam Cycle Club, standard Sunday morning is a 50 to 60 mile route. So you can cycle a long way on a road bike without being a mega athlete. You just have to have trained, and you used to have to be used to being in the saddle and like cycling through the countryside.
And I tell you what, I really appreciate the passion, but cycling back now to this particular challenge, this particular mission, again, three wonderful causes. That local St. Albans Rennie Grove Hospice do wonderful things. You're supporting, of course, the essential workers at the NHS, who, again, this current climate has brought to the fore, reminding us of indeed who and what is essential in our society. And of course, local and dear to you, MS Care Charities as well. Remind us, please, Jim, how can we support your wonderful endeavours?
Yes, yeah, so we're at www.ride55.co, which represents the 55 days of the ride. And I appreciate not everybody is in a position to give at the moment, you know, because these are tough times. So if you just want to follow the ride and see where we are and some fun around it, you can go on Facebook and there's a page at Ride55.
Wonderful stuff. And I tell you what, truly inspiring, Jim. It's been awesome to enjoy your company, to hear your own odyssey and get a little insight into some of the wonderful memories you've lived. It's been an honor to enjoy your time with you. I wish you every continued success and happiness. And I know that the people here in St. Albans and beyond have that spirit of benevolency, even in these trying times. And I'm sure going to that Ride 55 site will be in a lot of people doing just that in a few coming weeks and days. So keep up the awesome work, Jim.
Thank you.